Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Today we are going to hear some awesome stories from the lovely ladies of strip stories. There's going to be some hilarity about blowjobs and hooking up and masturbating and things of that nature. And there's also a surprise guest of an adorable little baby who makes a fair amount of noise. So just be prepared for that. We did our best in editing. So enjoy. This is Dr. Timmery, and today we have two totally awesome guests. I am stoked to introduce you to the ladies of Stripped Stories. We've got Margot Lightman.
Hi.
And Julia Rossi.
Hello.
Yay, welcome. So what the hell is Stripped Stories?
Stripped Stories is a sex-themed storytelling show that's been running for almost 5 years.
Wow. The two of you, just the two of you together?
Yeah, and we have guests on every show.
Yeah, we have guests. So it's Margot and I, we host it and we tell stories at it, and then we have two storytellers come on and a musical guest.
Ooh, that has some potential for excitement.
Yeah.
Okay, so what can somebody expect when they go to one of your events?
They can expect to laugh, to be moved a little bit, to be a little bit shocked. And to feel, hopefully by the end of the show, that they're not alone.
Not alone in what way? What do you mean?
That everyone is a little bit strange.
I mean, we think that, and I think most people agree that sex is sort of, you know, it's definitely a universal thing, whether you're having it, you're not having it, you love it, you hate it. And so we, you know, try really hard to get a good mix of people on our shows and have sort of had, you know, run the whole gamut of all the different areas of sex and people's experiences with sex. And the way I think the show makes people feel less alone is, you know, we really show the silly side of sex, the embarrassing part, the sort of self-deprecating, you know, all those sorts of stuff that have to do with sex and dating.
So tell me something absolutely mortifying that somebody has said on the show. It can be either one.
Oh, we don't want to tell other people's stories, but, just because we have a rule with our show that what happens in the room stays in the room. So I don't want to violate that.
Oh, that's
but
fair.
But we can tell about our own stories for sure.
By all means.
So what was the question? What's the most embarrassing thing? Is that what you said?
Yeah, just something mortifying.
Huh. All my stories are really embarrassing. Because most of my stories are about me throwing myself at someone when I'm drunk and in a really sad place and them being like, get off me. Or I think my most embarrassing is the story I told about the first guy that I ever gave a blowjob to on spring break, totally ignoring me afterwards. And then I thought it'd be a good idea to drive to his college after spring break and visit him as a surprise.
Oh, I bet that went over well.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
I think I have a lot of embarrassing stories. Well, I agree with Julia that that's where a lot of our material comes from. But maybe one that first came to mind was when I was in this long relationship and then I got out of it. And then I went out for my first night out being single. And I met this guy. And I lied about my age, but just by 1 year. And I was also only like 27. So the whole thing was ridiculous. Like I said, I was 26 instead of 27, which I just feel like was a waste of a lie. And I really should have really gone for it. And it ended up with like me panicking and jumping out of a moving cab.
Oh, I hope no injuries resulted from that.
Just a skidded knee. Yeah.
Well, as far as sex related injuries go, that's definitely not the worst thing I've ever heard of. So I posted something on the Sex with Timmery Facebook wall, I think probably like a week or two ago, about worst injuries that people have had. And I expected something in the order of rug burn and like crick in the neck and Charlie horses. And people had emergency room tales. I was not expecting that at all.
There was one story I heard in another show recently about a girl that there was like blood. I mean, this girl was hooking up with this other girl and something happened with like a bloody nose, like knee to the eye. Like it was nuts. Yeah. But people have gotten some major injuries.
And we're not even talking about the when things are being inserted that are not, you know, normally meant
just falling,
for
oh God. Just falling down.
Yeah.
Just
the natural course of events. And then some, you know, like a headboard gets shattered and, you know.
I definitely, like this is, wow, Julia can attest to this. This is the second time maybe this has come up in about a month because we were just talking about this on our podcast. But I definitely once had a pair of sexy underwear with a zipper up the front. And I definitely caught my pubic hair in that.
Oh,
sorry, Jules. I'm sorry they keep having to hear about that, but it really affected me.
So you talk about fairly personal stuff in front of audiences, and that is not a thing that most people can do. So what differentiates you from most people? Aside from the fact that you tell a good story, there's something
else
there.
I don't think most people won't do that, honestly. Like, look at Jerry Springer. People go on there to break up or to reveal that they're really a man. I mean, I think there's something easier about revealing it in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I think that most people want to reveal. I think it's that most people don't have a place to reveal. So I don't know that it's necessarily Margo and I are more revealing or better at revealing. I think we just, you know, luckily really created a great, safe, warm, fun place to reveal. Because one of the things we do in every show is we play a game with the audience where the winner comes on stage and tells like a little mini story and we interview them. And people get really competitive about wanting to be the person who gets on stage, actually. So, you know, to us, that sort of showed that people want to be included and want to tell stories. And I think after hearing us tell our stories and our guests tell our stories and how non-judgmental the show is, that people get even more inspired to want to share.
Yeah, that's. I saw that you have a special variation on Never Have I Ever. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, yeah. We basically play it. I mean, you can drink, obviously, during it, but the way it's traditionally played is it's a drinking game where you say, you know, never have I ever, you know, made out with someone of the same sex. And if you have, you would drink. And if you haven't, you wouldn't drink. But we have it so everyone stands up. And if you have done whatever we say, you would stay standing. And if you haven't, you would sit down. And the last person standing is the winner.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
You know, what I always loved about Never Have I Ever is playing it with people when I know their shit. And you can, like, come up with really specific, obscure things that you know that your specific friend has done so that they have to, like, in front of everyone, they will have to drink to the, oh, I've never made out with someone and then puked in their dresser drawer and then, like, snuck out, etc. So, I like it. So what brings you into this particular brand of storytelling? What about revealing this particular stuff appeals to you?
I think all stories are deeply personal. Anything that I'll put on stage is usually very, very personal. It's usually not fluffy. So this is just one genre of the personal story.
Okay.
Jules, how's your baby?
She just started crying. Can you hear? Wait, I want to make it clear because I didn't say it on air. I do not have a baby. I'm watching my friend's baby. I'm not ready for babies. Thank you. Very scared to have a baby. Anyways, that could be a whole show, I think, because I take pregnancy tests like every week.
Whether it's warranted or not, just as a regular checkup?
Yeah, I have my boyfriend and I were at Costco and he was like, do you want to just get bulk pregnancy tests? Because you're constantly, I'm like, yeah, I probably just should.
You know, my husband the other day on stage made some joke about buying pregnancy tests, a 2-pack of pregnancy tests at the store. And then I was in the audience and a bunch of my friends were like, why didn't you tell me you're pregnant? And I was like, am I the only person that's constantly taking a pregnancy? Like, that's not what it means. It just means you're having a meltdown. Yeah.
It's just a double check, you know. So you both have partners and you discuss sexuality stuff on stage. Like, how do your partners feel about this stuff?
Fine.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, my boyfriend and I, we started dating 3 years ago, so I already had the show going on for a few years. And he, you know, we've had the discussion of if it's a story that's like super intimate and something he might not want to know about, he won't come. And I totally respect that in the sense of he's not really the type to want to hear about all my past exploits. But luckily, most of my stories, like I said, are about me getting rejected or me making a fool of myself. So he's been able to come to most shows.
And then how about your husband?
Yeah, he's fine with it. I mean, if he wasn't, I don't think that we'd be the right match. I mean, I don't. If you haven't seen the show's not really me getting on stage being like, and then I suck this guy's dick. Like, that's not really what the show is. So the show's about telling truthful, heartfelt stories that have something to do with sex or sexuality, which opens it up to a lot of things. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm getting on stage, like, you know, putting on a live sex show. It's completely different.
Okay. And then as the show goes on, does the theme of it change? I mean, have you found that over the course of your work together that you have told different types of stories that as you're developing as a person that your interests are different or anything like that?
Well, I think that it was a big help. One, I think early in the show, Julia did a story about like her childhood, like, masturbatory love affair with this beanbag chair. And I think once she figured out, or we figured out, that it doesn't just limit it to actual like hookups with people, you can go beyond that to the whole world of sexuality, then this whole story's changed. And we had more stories like that that were sort of non-traditional, yeah, which was awesome. Because I think that was the first of that really opened up a whole big window for us, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, it was very, me humping that beanbag chair is a huge moment in everyone's lives, my own, and really it changed the course of history. I think for Margo and I, you know, when we first started the show, we had no idea how long it would last, and we, after a few months, were like, because we always, you know, tell something in the show, and we were like, you know, I mean, you know, we're women, we've had boyfriends, we've done whatever, but I certainly don't have thousands of, you know, racy sex tales to share. Right. And so I think, like you're saying, that beanbag chair story kind of opened up that, like, oh, we can tell stories and people can tell stories about crushes and fantasies and, you know, failed first kisses and things that never even happened, yeah, but you wanted to have happen and stuff like that. So that's been a really neat part of the show, that it's really just that sex is kind of the through line, but it's not necessarily the entire focus.
Okay. And the fact that you're two women who are comedians is awesome to me, because like, I understand that female comedians are sources of amazing entertainment. A lot of our culture doesn't necessarily hold that opinion. Do you feel yourself having to fight back against that tide, and then you just have to like show them what's up? Like,
with the show specifically or in general?
Maybe however you want to answer that.
Well, for me, I mean, I think with the show, I haven't really experienced too much, you know, negative or stereotypical stuff being a female hosting the show, except for the occasional, what do you guys get naked at the show? Is it two strippers telling stories? Yeah. I mean, that's really the only thing, you know, or, oh, what do you guys go fuck a lot of dudes for the show? Where I'm, yeah, like, yeah, you go fuck people right before the show. You got it. So that's really all I've experienced with this. And then, I don't know, I kind of go back and forth with that in the sense of sometimes it works to the advantage of if there's a show and, you know, they're booking a strong female, you know, I'm like, oh, great. Well, maybe I could be that strong female. But then I'm like, wait, why is there only one strong female? So I don't know. Margo, I wonder if you have any.
I don't know. It's a question that is asked usually a lot of female comedians. And to be honest, I'd rather just be thought of as a comedian and not really have gender come into play at all. I mean, if I was a bartender, I don't think people would call me a female bartender, you know?
I absolutely agree.
So I kind of try not. I mean, gender, sure, it's an issue and it's always going to be there. But I don't think about it when I get on stage. I just do the best I can, and I don't really try to, you know, be combative about it. I mean, I'm in a field that's dominated mostly by men, sure, but that doesn't mean that I can't thrive in it and be myself and be just as successful. So I don't know. To be honest with you, I think about it very rarely, and I think that that's the best way to go.
I think for me, I agree with Margo in a sense of I try not to think about it, but I feel like I'm forced to think about it in the sense of when I get an email from a manager that's like, hey, do you want to submit a writing packet? This show is trying to fill the female slot. Or when I read an article that's like, you know, about Bridesmaids, how like, we can't believe how funny this all female movie is.
It was a study where people had a caption writing contest, and then the subjects, participants of the study, were asked to gauge how funny they thought the captions were, and to guess whether they thought the writer was male or female. And generally speaking, men and women who wrote the jokes did evenly well. Like, the statistical mm-hmm. significance between the two groups was just not even there. They did evenly well, but people perceived the funnier jokes as having must have been thought of by a man. And the ones that they thought were cornier, they attributed more likely to women. And it was just purely bias. Like, there was, I mean, it's as blind of a study as you could possibly do with joke telling anyway. So,
yeah, well, that's an interesting study, but, I don't know. I mean, I could get caught up in a lot of things like, oh, I'm left-handed. And is my handwriting going to be worse than the right-handed? I mean, I could get caught up in a million things that would be thought of as a disadvantage, you know? I mean, or like, I have a hearing problem and I don't like think about as myself as a comedian with a hearing problem, you know? So I don't know. I think that the only way to move forward in this is to separate it and be the best whatever you want to be and not let anything like that hold you back in any way. And if someone makes a comment to you that bothers you, stand up for yourself and move on. But I think that being caught up about it is really, I don't know. I think a lot of people get caught up in, I didn't get this or that because I'm a woman. And I don't know if that's true or not. And either way, it's upsetting not to get something. So if it makes you feel better to think it's just because you're a woman, then that's fine. And if it makes you feel better to think it's because you didn't submit the best packet, that's fine too. Whatever helps you get through that. But I try not to let gender influence any of the work that I do.
I was going to say, with strip stories, what I do think is kind of neat, though, for me at least, is that I do think some people are surprised when they come to the show and see that it is just a show about people talking about sex and stuff and not like two girls being like, look how slutty we are. Right. And like, you know, I think that's kind of a neat thing that Margot and I have done, in the sense of, I think we've been pretty successful in hosting a show about sex and has nothing to do with the fact that we're two girls. Mm-hmm. That just happens to be.
I completely agree. Because
yeah, I think that just happens to be a really, I think it's a positive thing that it's two girls. And I think it's great that it's not advertised as like, can you believe these two sex pots? Right. You know, like,
I think that there's a lot of shows, and there's nothing against this, but there are a lot of shows that are like, we're an all-female comedy group. We're an all-female improv group. We're an all-female stand-up show or whatever. And Julia and I never advertised it as that. We were just hosting a show, and there's men and there's women on it. And the shows, you're right, Jules, no one's ever billed the show as this is a girls show. It's just a show. And I think that there's also plenty of, not to insult you, but the way I feel, Jules, is that there's plenty of younger, hotter, you know, two girls that could put up something and then draw. I mean, I think coming for the stories. I think that, you know, I feel like I'm a solid 8 I think they're coming to hear the stories. I don't think anyone's coming to see two chicks. Maybe I'm wrong, but if they are coming to see two chicks, they'll be proven wrong, because the show is so much better than just two chicks, you know, in cute dresses. There's so much more going on, so they'll be pleasantly surprised. So if that gets
them
in the door.
Which we usually do wear cute dresses, just to make that clear.
So if it gets them in the door, cool. And they'll leave being like, wow, that was great.
So where can people see you? Like, you have a monthly show, correct?
Okay, if you go to stripstories.com, mm-hmm. We have all of our shows listed there. We play pretty regularly in New York. And we are touring this fall with shows. We just did Chicago. We just did San Francisco and LA. And then we're doing New York on November 9th, DC, November 11th and 12th, Philly, the 18th and 19th, and then Boston the 20th. And then we also have a podcast that I'm slowly but surely trying to put online as often as possible, but I'm not the most tech savvy. So that's, you can also find that on stripstories.com, and we're on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we've got so many shows. We're really excited about it. And the Philly shows, they are going to rock. Because the last time we were in Philly, we had a blast. Also, Philly is pretty much the coolest city. We were completely inexperienced with it. We got there, we're like, this place is awesome. So you're really lucky.
For the cheesesteak I had.
Oh, my God. The cheesesteak I had in the airport was unreal.
Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah, you don't
want to. Oh my God, it was so good.
You don't want to deal with the touristy places. Like, that's.
I went to the touristy place and it was. I threw it away.
Yeah.
There's, I threw it away.
No, there's no need for that.
Oh my God. You should go. Well, I'll take you to the place in the airport, Jules, when we're there. It was really unreal.
Yeah, that's the secret that Philly people don't tell you is go to the airport for the food. Because.
We're supposed to be talking about our show, and I feel like we could do about a half hour on cheesesteaks.
I could do a half hour on the cheesesteaks. We also did a half hour on gender. Julia and I also took a lot of sociology classes. So yeah. We're like really obsessed with things like that. So,
well, I also just watched, just as a side note, did either of you guys see that misrepresentation documentary on OWN?
I've seen the trailer, but I didn't get to see the actual show.
Oh, I really recommend it.
Was it amazing? Oh, yeah. All right.
Really?
I gotta go.
Really interesting stuff.
The baby was a real big fan of the show.
I'm so sorry. As Margot knows, I'm not even a kid lover, but my friend was in dire straits for a babysitter.
See, so you should come see everyone should come see the show because you're good people too. Like, in addition to being funny, like, support people who help out their friends and take care of their babies.
I bet he's paying her though. I don't think she's helping. I think she's getting paid.
It takes a village of well-paid people.
Jules, is he paying you?
Yeah, but I also had other stuff to do today that I canceled to help.
Oh, wow.
All right, yeah. See, you're a good person then.
Good person. Come to the show. Help out good people. Where is Strip Stories going in the future? Like, where do you think that this is going to be, you know, a year, two, wherever from now?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I mean, Margot and I, you know, it'll be 5 years in January, and we have, you know, come up with various other ideas for the show as far as television and books and whatnot, and honestly, I mean, if the right idea came along and the right team behind it came along, you know, I could see it turning into like a talk show or a great radio show. But in the meantime, or if ever, I mean, I think we're both pretty satisfied with what it is right now.
In November, we're doing the show full time. This fall is pretty much, it's a full time gig right now. We get to be for the next few months, like, touring live comedians that get to do something we created for a living and be our own bosses. I mean, that's the American dream. It's really exciting. I'm really, really, yeah. I mean, this show started, I have to be honest, it did start with a fan base built in the sense that it got great press right away and it's been done consistently well for many years. But I mean, it started as an unpaid show in the Lower East Side, and it eventually moved to the number one comedy venue in New York and LA, and we're touring all over the country with it, and we get asked to do festivals and get people asking us to teach them how to tell stories. And I mean, sure, would we love to be starring in Bridesmaids too? Absolutely. But are we professional comedians? Yeah, and that's because we created something, and that's pretty damn cool.
That is super cool. Congratulations on your 5 years as well. That's impressive.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. So for those in the Philly area, you can check out the Strip Stories at the Painted Bride Center. And that's going to be November 18th and 19th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And so you already pointed out stripstories.com. Is that? And then you're available on Facebook and Twitter and all of the other places and all of the things. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been awesome to talk to you, and good luck with the run of the show, or break all your appendages, whatever's the appropriate thing to say.
Thank
comedy.
You.
All right. So that was Margot Lightman and Julia Rossi.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimmare@gmail.com. And thank you.